I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is a special bonus feature of the On Point podcast. We're currently running an occasional series called Amazon, The Prime Effect, where we're taking a look at how the $1.6 trillion company is changing everything about how we live, work, and shop. Our most recent episode focused on the part of Amazon that's likely most familiar to you. Amazon Marketplace, that vast everything store, as journalist Brad Stone put it, that's transformed e-commerce in the United States. Amazon Marketplace is one of the company's oldest businesses. In the late 1990s, Amazon began by being the only seller on its platform. That changed in 2000, following the dot-com bust, when Amazon decided to open the platform to third-party sellers. At a fee, of course. As Stone writes in his latest book, Amazon Unbound, quote, Jeff Bezos had an epiphany. By adding outside vendors, the company drew in new shoppers and earned commissions on those sales, which it could use to lower prices or subsidize faster delivery. That in turn drew more shoppers in and attracted more sellers. So invest in any part of the loop, and this cycle would accelerate. Well, it did. By 2018, Amazon was the nation's number one e-commerce company, controlling 45% of an industry valued at hundreds of billions of dollars. Amazon's size and influence over e-commerce has drawn criticism from advocates for its contribution to the decline of local brick-and-mortar retailers. It's also drawn scrutiny from regulators. Both the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S. and the European Commission are investigating alleged monopolistic and unfair practices at Amazon over those third-party sellers on their site. But none of that has dampened Amazon's ambitions. Senior executive Dharmesh Mehta recently said, quote, Our general mental model is actually quite simple. We want the vast selection of every genuine product in the world, and we want it at the lowest prices. Mehta is Amazon's vice president of worldwide customer trust and partner support. We spoke with him at length for our series on Amazon, and I began by asking him, what exactly is Amazon Marketplace now?
Well, so it's interesting. Amazon provides a store for customers all around the world, and we have hundreds of millions of customers. And we really think of this as one store. It's a great experience. There's a lot of different people that sell in the store. Amazon Retail, we sell in the store ourselves, but we also have an amazing number of small businesses of all sizes, from new entrepreneurs that are just getting started to large businesses that have, tens or hundreds of employees that are selling across many different products. And really that kind of entire amalgamation is what has created this amazing success story over the last two decades in this partnership between Amazon and small businesses, and how that creates this really awesome win where customers get access to tremendous selection and great prices and convenient delivery. Small businesses are able to access these customers and grow and create thriving businesses. And Amazon gets to create the store that facilitates all of that.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I've been having a little bit of trouble in pinning down exactly how many third-party sellers are part of the marketplace. Do you have the exact number?
Yeah, so we currently have roughly 2 million small and medium-sized businesses that are selling in our store. They reach hundreds of millions of customers. And actually, over the last year, they've grown their sales more than 50%. And so it's a super vibrant group, very diverse, but still growing super fast.
Mm-hmm. And when you say 2 million, is that active? Because I've seen numbers as high as 6.
That is 2 million active. I don't know the other stats you're referencing,
okay.
But we have 2 million small, medium-sized businesses that that we partner with.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, because the numbers as high as 6 I've seen said that their number of sellers overall, but about 2 million active. So I just wanted to verify that with you. Okay, how much of Amazon's annual revenue comes from transactions through the marketplace?
Well, so these small, medium-sized businesses are critical to the Amazon store and what we're able to do for customers. And, in It was just over 20 years ago that we opened the store to third parties to come into our store and sell alongside us. And at the time, there were a number of people who thought, you know, this was a little crazy. You know, you have this retail business and you're effectively inviting these businesses you compete with to come into your store and sell right alongside you. But we made that bet because it allowed us to dramatically increase selection, to create healthy competition that, you know, creates great prices, to create scale that allows us to offer very convenient delivery. And as a result, you know, it's gone from, you know, 0% effectively back then to now more than 50%, almost 60% of all physical products sold in our store are sold by these independent sellers.
Mm-hmm. And so that dramatic growth, though, has come with, obviously, financial benefit for Amazon. So let me put a finer point on my question. Are you able to say what percentage of Amazon's overall revenue is coming from the marketplace?
I don't know that specific stat. What I can tell you is for these businesses, you know, we've done some estimates. And in the last year, we estimate that for these small businesses, they've been able to generate about $25 billion in kind of economic profit. They've created, you know, more than 2 million jobs. And so there's a tremendous amount of value creation that's kind of occurred through this partnership between Amazon and small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to small business owners over the course of the past several weeks who credit Amazon with their very existence, because otherwise they simply could not exist as small businesses with reach around the world without Amazon. So your point is well taken on that. It is just difficult externally to find out, though, what the benefit is to Amazon in terms of a balance sheet bottom line. And I hear you're unable to give us an answer on that.
That's correct.
Okay. So let me ask you, how does it work when a seller decides to sell on Amazon? What kind of supports does Amazon give that person to launch their business?
Yeah, it's an awesome question. You know, this starts for us with how do we really kind of enable and educate what may be entrepreneurs, maybe brand owners, but someone that may have a great product idea and they want to start selling online. Maybe they've got a physical store and are trying to turn to e-commerce. And we do a great deal to provide kind of guidance and training. You know, we have over 3,000, you know, Seller University kind of video tutorials. We've had in the last year over 1,000 events that are part of our Small Business Academy that are all geared at, you know, providing tremendous and innovative resources to small businesses to create a powerful foundation from which they can, you know, accelerate their business and thrive. And then on top of that, the second thing we do is we really try to provide small businesses with a great deal of kind of power and benefits that normally require much larger scale. You know, whether that's things like our Fulfillment by Amazon service that allows them to tap into a worldwide fulfillment center network and logistics capability, take part in Prime for fast 1 or 2 day delivery. We allow sellers to tap into, you know, obviously this large amount of customer traffic that isn't just coming from, you know, the 10 or 20 miles around their physical store, but can be coming from anywhere in the country or even anywhere in the world. We're able to provide sellers with tremendous amounts of kind of analytics and data around what customers are searching for and what they're looking for and what they like. And we really put, you know, the seller front and center so customers can find them and help support those small businesses and purchase their amazing products.
On the point of the analytics that you provide to sellers, that seems to be very important and a very powerful tool. Can you tell me more? Like, what are those? What is that data and those analytics?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of data that sellers get access to, you know, as they start using our selling tools. And it's everything from, it kind of follows the journey of a seller business. You know, often it starts with, you know, what products should I carry? And, you know, Amazon will provide recommendations around products to carry, products that customers are searching for. They can see, you know, aggregated data on search queries. You know, similarly, you then go into, okay, well, maybe I've got a product now and I'm trying to figure out how to price this product, and we'll provide sellers with pricing recommendations. They'll be able to see, you know, other products in the same category and kind of pricing that's available from, you know, what may be their competitors or similar products and kind of what customers think is normal. You know, all the way to, you know, thinking about restocking products and how much inventory to carry, or advertising and recommendations on campaigns that they should be running. And so it kind of spans the gamut. And, you know, I could tell you all sorts of stories of, you know, small businesses that this has really helped in quite powerful ways. You know, if I were to just, you know, tell you one example, you know, a small business, Live by Being, the founder, Kennedy Lowry, she's able to see tremendous amounts of data about her category, which is health and beauty. And, you know, she's able to take that data, see what customers really want. And if I look at, you know, Prime Day last year, she moved more than a month's worth of inventory in just those 2 days, built off of kind of that strong analytics and data that, you know, she's able to access through her selling tools.
Hmm. And so Amazon, obviously, also, not just also, but Amazon, you know, is the platform through which all of this data is being collected. What does Amazon itself do with the data generated in the marketplace?
Well, I think it's really important on that question to separate what Amazon retail, which is, you know, one of the sellers in our store, versus the many parts of Amazon that are running the store for all sellers, including Amazon retail and all the third-party sellers in our store. You know, our teams that operate the store for all sellers use a great deal of aggregated data. It helps us understand how to plan fulfillment center capacity or how to prioritize what listings should show up when, you know, when you or any other person searches for a product. And that's the same kind of, you know, there's a set of that data we then expose in kind of the example I provided earlier. But when it comes to Amazon retail, the way we think about that is very similar to the way we think about any seller. Amazon retail employees, they're prohibited from using any non-public seller-specific data. They can't get, you know, kind of confidential data about an individual seller the same way any one of our third-party sellers can't get data about each other. And for Amazon retail, we have policies around this. We have access controls. We do regular audits, and we continue to monitor all of that. And then, you know, the other thing that's just really important anytime you talk about data, it's super critical. We invest a tremendous amount in making sure that any of this data is kept super securely, adheres to all privacy regulations, and that's all just kind of critical foundational capabilities that have to be there.
Well, since you mentioned Amazon retail, as I know you well know, last year the Wall Street Journal reported after interviewing some 20 former Amazon employees, employees of Amazon's private label business, and after they had reviewed documents provided to them, they determined that Amazon had used that very same data that you're talking about from independent sellers to develop competing products. Products that competed with those sellers, which is a practice that you just said was at odds with the company's policies. So did that not happen?
I don't know the specifics of the case and that you're highlighting and kind of what was found in that investigation. What I do know is that we absolutely prohibit the use of seller-specific data that's not public. One of the things that I think is sometimes surprising to folks, if you actually go across Amazon's website, you can go into any category and you can see who the top selling products are. You can see kind of what we call the best sellers. And there's a tremendous amount of data that's public that a lot of our sellers use because it helps them identify, you know, where are the areas that they want to expand into. They can read customer reviews and see what customers like and the features of those products. And so it's absolutely true that all of our sellers, including Amazon retail, have a great amount of data accessible to them on our website and through our selling tools that help them kind of invent new products and expand into new product lines and determine features they want to create. So that is something that happens, and it actually creates kind of a healthy competitive environment where customers get to win because mm-hmm. customers get the benefit of that amazing selection and greater features and capabilities that all of our sellers can learn from.
Yeah. Well, I'll just give you a specific example from the Wall Street Journal story from last year. They report that Amazon employees access documents and data. Again, this is a specific example about a best-selling car trunk organizer that was sold by a third-party vendor on the marketplace. And that information included total sales, how much the vendor paid Amazon for marketing and shipping, how much Amazon made on each sale. And then thereafter, Amazon's private label arm introduced its own car trunk organizer. So that seems to me doing the very thing that you said was prohibited because – is that data that's not publicly available data, is it?
The bestseller in a category is public data and someone could see it. But if someone violated one of our policies and an employee went against the policies we have in place or found a way to circumvent the controls we have in place, we would absolutely go investigate that. The employee would likely be terminated for what they've done, and we'd want to hold them accountable. It's just not acceptable. Our incentives and kind of what you've seen Amazon do over many decades is built on the success of small businesses. They're the majority of the products sold in our store. They continue to grow faster than our Amazon retail business. And our private label business is actually super small. It's roughly 1% of all sales. And so it's just super clear. We would have no incentive or motivation to ever want to kind of do anything that would undermine the trust of these 2 million amazing small, medium businesses that sell in our store.
Yeah. And that 1%, though, this is the thing about Amazon, right? That 1% of anything in Amazon is huge, because I'm seeing that as of 2020, that you're talking about 1% of, I hope I have this number right, about $160 billion in retail sales in 1 year. So that's pretty good. I mean, that's excellent. So let's take a step back here for a second. You talked earlier about how much the marketplace has grown. How much more do you expect it to grow in the next 2 to 5 years?
The thing that we're investing in, and it's hard to put a dollar figure on that or a number on it, but we love that sellers continue to grow and thrive in our store. Last year, we invested more than $18 billion in, whether it's logistics and operations capabilities, whether it's, engineers and product people that build amazing tools, whether it's support teams, all, built on helping empower and drive the success of sellers in our store. And we're going to continue that investment. Sellers continue to grow faster than Amazon retail does. And so I hope to see them continue to succeed and for us to be able to do that together, because it really is this great partnership. And we're part of the same team. And together, we've been able to do amazing things for customers. Mm.
So actually, mentioning customers, specifically, who do you see as the marketplace's customers?
Well, so it's interesting, when we talk about customers, Amazon talks a lot about our customer obsession. And when we're building new features or new programs, we obsess over whoever the customer is that we're building those inventions for. Sometimes that's a consumer, sometimes it's a business, sometimes it's a selling partner. And we obsess over, really working backwards from what we think will delight that customer. And we continue to iterate. And so in the case of sellers, there's a lot we do to build, tools and capabilities and new features and new programs and support capabilities, all for the selling partner. We obsess over trying to create amazing solutions for them. But with sellers, our business relationship is one of being partners. We think we make a great team. We provide sellers with the ability to reach hundreds of millions of customers. They benefit from the scale we can provide. They get access to innovative tools and services. And in turn, sellers provide amazing selection, low prices, and delightful customer experiences. And so it's a great partnership. And it's really kind of the combination of those two things that's worked so well for all of us. Mm.
So is what you're saying is you see as your primary customers the sellers?
I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Okay.
I think sometimes we're building things that are for, the sellers as our customers. It's features and capabilities and programs that are for the sellers. And so in that case, they are kind of the customer of those capabilities. But both our selling partners and us are also serving a customer that is the buying customer who shops in the store. And so I know that sounds a little bit more nuanced, but I think that is the reality of kind of the relationships that we have here.
I'm wondering what you see as some of the critical challenges that have come and will come with the marketplace's continued growth. And I'm thinking specifically of the fact that this year, for example, a California appeals court ruled that Amazon can be held liable for products sold through the marketplace, even if they're sold by third-party vendors. I mean, how is that going to change the dynamic between Amazon and sellers?
Well, I think the thing that's important is Amazon has long tried to create a store where while there are many sellers in the store, Amazon retail sells in the store, a whole bunch of interesting, innovative small businesses sell in the store. But it's critical for customers that they can trust in shopping in our store, whether they're buying from us or buying from one of these amazing small businesses. And so we invest tremendous resources in ensuring we have a trustworthy store. You know, last year we spent more than $700 million, had over 10,000 people that are just dedicated to protecting our store from fraud and abuse. Because it's super critical, you know, for a customer, whether the legal liability may determine, you know, what Amazon's legally liable for and what a third party seller is legally liable for. From a customer trust perspective, it's critical that customers can shop with confidence in our store and know that they're going to get authentic, safe, trustworthy products that meet what they, you know, their expectations are, that they're going to get them on time in the condition they expect. And so we really think customer first here and just, you know, being very focused on making sure we're doing that well. We invest tremendous resources there. We overall think we do quite well at this, but we're not perfect. And so we're always looking for the places we may have missed something to look at how we could better protect the trustworthiness of the store from the
start. Yeah, no, that's really important. But I wondered when I read about this ruling was it puts Amazon in a really challenging place, right? Because all of a sudden it's put the, you know, liability for the performance of millions and millions of products that are coming from around the world onto the company. So, I mean, is the marketplace going to change some of the requirements for third-party sellers to list on Amazon because of that?
Well, for a long time, the sellers in our store are required to carry, you know, if they're over a certain size, are required to carry product liability insurance. That's not new. They're required to have that. As any kind of business who gets to a certain size should have the appropriate business insurance, our sellers operate the same way. And the good thing here is, you know, again, the vast majority of products sold in our store are amazing and customers love them and they're not defective and they don't cause problems. And so, you know, the legal regime may continue to change and evolve and we'll have to figure out what that means. But, you know, for our marketplace sellers, again, these small, medium businesses, by and large, are amazing with great products and they have the appropriate insurance and they ensure they don't have defective products and they do all of those things because that's what great businesses do.
Obviously, Amazon has come under serious scrutiny from the federal government. You even testified before Congress in 2019 about the relationship between Amazon and small businesses. And it was interesting because at that time, the congressional committee's hearing, the framing of that was that Main Street businesses should have an equitable opportunity to compete in the information age. And that perhaps Amazon was preventing that equitable opportunity from existing. I'm wondering what you think of the premise of that to begin with.
Well, the way I've thought about this is what Amazon's done for small businesses, by and large, has provided a tremendous number of benefits that they didn't previously have. You know, I'd love to tell the story of, you know, a small business that may be, you know, sitting in some city or some rural area, and they've got a set of customers that come from a small radius around them. And what Amazon does is they give them access to hundreds of millions of customers across the country and across the world. What Amazon does for that small business is give them a wealth of data around what's happening with customers, what they're searching for, the types of products they want to buy. What Amazon does is provide that small business, empower them with recommendations and suggestions for how they can grow their business. And so in many ways, if you think about the options, and it's probably never been more stark than it's been, you know, over the last 18 months. You know, I'll tell you about a company called business called Blue Zone Sports. They're based in Nevada. They rent premium outdoor gear. They had 6 stores. When COVID hit, they had to temporarily close all of their physical stores and they had to downsize from 75 employees to 12. But what they were able to do in partnership with us is they could go all in on Amazon. They could reach customers all around the world. They had to be super scrappy and scramble and be creative in how they, you know, adapted from, you know, selling products through a physical store to figuring out how to ship and inbound and send to our fulfillment centers. But they could leverage our fulfillment center network, our delivery capability. And they now have more employees and more brick and mortar locations than they did pre-pandemic, thanks to that growth. And so, you know, the premise for me really is that this partnership between Amazon and small businesses has been great in both directions.
Well, Dharmesh Mehta is the Vice President of Customer Trust and Partner Support at Amazon. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Meghna, for having me.
We featured parts of this conversation with Dharmesh Mehta in our episode about Amazon Marketplace. In that show, we also hear from sellers and analysts about how Amazon is changing all of sales and the implications of its market dominance. Do check it out. It's there in your feed with our other shows in our series, Amazon: The Prime Effect. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.